Patigo Breeds McCusker on the trail of those Patigo plaques with Johnny Cunningham from the men's group in the village. And you can get a booklet, that booklet called the Patigo History Trail. If you're interested, then get in touch with us and we'll give you all the details. But from one P to another, Patigo to Portadown and Wade Pottery. It was made in Portadown for nearly 50 years, right up until 1996. And it was famous for a particular shade of green dye and for being quite stereotypical in the way it represented Irishness. A bit kitsch, I suppose you could say. But not just any old pottery either. And you can see for yourself in an exhibition that's on at the minute at the Millennium Court Arts Centre in Portadown. Megan Johnson is curator there and she joins us now in the studio. Thank you for coming in today, Megan. And you've brought in a couple of examples because I think that's the first thing we need to do is to help people to visualise what this pottery looks like. Now, the pieces you brought in are two small pieces. This one is a little cauldron and it's in that green dye, isn't it? It's got shamrocks around the side of it and it's got a little metal handle on the top of it. And if you flip it over, what am I going to see in there?
It actually says made in Ireland, Wade porcelain, and then made in Ireland and Irish as well.
So the thing about, the other thing that you have there, what's that?
Well, I'm not quite sure. It's a small dish, but it has the green-blue glaze, actually, dye glaze. And what it is it's actually also have a decoration of shamrocks and, you know, again, the Irish theme. But when it was created, almost by accident in 1953 by Cecil Holland, he actually was trying to get that royal, he was making a royal commemorative for the Queen's coronation.
Okay.
And so I was trying to get the blue and made a mistake, thought he was in trouble.
I got the green.
And got the green-blue. So sometimes it comes out greener and sometimes it comes out a bit bluer.
I just noticed that now on the inside of that dish it is more green. On the outside it's blue. It's a kind of a combination of aqua bluey green.
Yes.
But it's the sort of thing, and I know I have seen this in my house, in my granny's house, in aunts and uncles' house, and it's the sort of thing that people must have lying around their houses somewhere, and maybe they don't realize how collectible it is. These days, how collectible is it?
It's incredibly collectible. When I was approached about 3 years ago by the Edenderry Historical Society in Edenderry, Portadown, they were explaining it to me, and they were saying that they were beginning to buy these things on eBay. You know, some of them, like these, are small amounts, 5-10 pound. But when you consider what you paid for them at the beginning, but other ones are larger figurines are actually were upwards of 500 pounds.
So that's the amount of money, and a lot of people who do like this kind of thing and buy it over the years would have extensive collections.
Huge.
So you could be talking thousands of pounds in your house.
I actually had a wee woman in yesterday at the Morning Quarter Center that said we were going through her collection. She said, I have that, I have that, I have that. And there is a book that was published by the Edenderry Culture and Historical Society that gives you the breakdown of each of the pieces and their marks, that is the marks on the bottom, and how much they are. And this woman had 2,000, more than 2,000 pounds, 3,000 pounds worth of...
But she shall remain nameless.
Yes, she will. Yeah.
She will be mobbed on her way about the place. So you've used the word kitsch.
Yeah.
And I'm never sure about that word, kitsch. I'm never sure whether it could potentially be an insult or whether it's a compliment.
Well, it's both, actually, in a way. I mean, the way that kitsch means kind of mass-produced, if you will, if you look it up on the internet, it does have sometimes negative connotations. The definition that I'm using for the title of the show is about mass production, and they do often, you know, have stereotypical notions of nationality. But it might be, you know, kitsch could mean a Lady and the Tramp. That's one of the things.
Yeah, there's the dog in the front
thing,
of the book.
Those things, yes.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about are the little shamrocks and the little leprechauns that they did. And, you know, I don't see a huge... Maybe it's because I'm American, but I don't see a problem with kitsch.
Really? American? Did anybody notice that? I was about to say to you, because it's a long journey you've come. You're a former curator of the Metropolitan Museum in New York City.
Yeah.
And, of course, you were whisked away, I guess, by the charm of an Irishman. Is that right?
Yes, I was.
What happened there?
Project manager there. I would love to have been a curator, but probably would never have left New York. But I was a project manager in New York, and I met a guy from over here, and we tried New York, and it didn't work, and so we're here. But I love it here. You know, the ability to work on exhibitions like this with people from the local area and really archive, and that's what we're doing. We are archiving, and we're reappraising Wade and bringing it up to the standard that it should be known as.
Okay, so it could end up in the Metropolitan Museum in New York,
maybe. It's in the Ulster Museum right now. We'll hope for the tape next.
Okay. All right. Megan, it's been a pleasure, and thank you very much, and I hope that exhibition goes very well. And if you find any weird pottery around about the house, you get in touch with us. We'll put you in touch with Megan, and you can help to work out the provenance of it. That exhibition continues right through until October, and there's a special talk on the weird pottery on Saturday, September the 8th. That's between 2 and 3 o'clock, and they're both at the Millennium Arts Centre in Portadown.